You're listening to Mocha Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Travel Express. And with our Travel Express, alhamdulillah, we have our very own Ibrahim Vadacha, my Ibrahim Ba. And he's an astute businessman. He's a humanitarian. He's someone that, you know, does a lot of civic work. And he's a go-to man for many, many, many people. And alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, on Travel Express, which is his segment. He's made it such a pleasure for me to listen to him. I'm sure you all feel the same when Ibrahim Ba or Ibrahim Vadacha comes on. Ibrahim Ba, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, I think this fine, a beautiful evening.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Shafat and our listeners to Radio Markaz Sahaba. Alhamdulillah, by the qudrat of Allah, I'm on top of the world today.
You know, you deserve to be because you do good work. And anyone that's good, good will follow them now and forever, inshallah. Now, Ibrahim Ba,
hey.
The other day I was talking to Dr. Farooq Hafiji.
Yes.
And he says, you know, Shafat, the best way to de-stress, I told, tell me, doc. He said, you know, now it's holiday time. Go to, he reckoned, go to the Holy Lands and de-stress. He said, go there and go for Umrah, you'll de-stress. What a lovely break, he says. So I was thinking with that MBF story and that's happening here and that there. I already run this through Ibrahim Ba. Ibrahim Ba can tell us. I mean, you had that experience. No doubt. No doubt. You go to Medina, you get the peace of all peace. You know. And now, you know, with all these politics coming in and, you know, a lot of conflicting reports coming in. Take us through, Ibrahim Ba. You know, you've been there countless of times. But the peace you get in Medina is just unreal. Is it still the same, Ibrahim Ba? Or, you know, with all these different types of scenarios coming in, that part of the world being compromised, how would it be now, Ibrahim Ba?
Well, to be quite honest with you, the thing is on my many, and there were quite a few, trust me, journeys to the kingdom. I think the most challenging part would be the arrival, getting through immigration and customs. And then getting to your lodgings in either Mecca, I think more so in Mecca, Jeddah, Mecca, that was the one. But if you flew straight into Medina, it was another story altogether. But look, the mere fact that our beloved Nabi Mustafa, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the living prophet, is there, that's not going to change. I don't think anything humanity can do, despite humanity and all those crazy ideas they're coming up with. I don't think anything is going to change that or face that, and it depends on what intention the pilgrim is going there with. If like us, we are going there purely for the pleasure of visiting his burial site and his masjid and places like that, then nothing's going to change that. You know, that serenity, that calmness, that peace, that tranquility, it's unattainable in that degree anywhere else. It's so tangible, you can almost reach out and take hold of it, you know. And it's purely because of the fact that the finest of all creation lies buried there. And no matter how many times you can go, you know, you can go back and again and again and again. And there's just something, once you go there, it just draws you like a magnet. And that is why so many people set store by it you know, would love to go there again and again. And of course, a lot of them even go there hoping that they will pass on, you know, into the hereafter from there and be buried, you know, in that cemetery in Baqi across the road where all the luminaries and families and companions of the Prophet lie buried. So I don't think, despite their best efforts, they're going to be able to change that thing. Mecca, as you know, the atmosphere is totally different. But I think, you know, the fact that that Mecca is the hub of everything, the most important, and then followed by Medina and, of course, Al-Quds thereafter. The fact of the matter is that whilst most people go there and make the Umrah, the yearning is there to go to Medina. And I think in 99.9%, you know, unless there's extenuating circumstances, people will go there, make the Umrah, and tend to linger longer in Medina purely because of the peace that one finds there. And even the people there in Medina are softer and more receptive more caring, more loving, and more warm than I would say even in Mecca itself. You know, there isn't that degree of harshness that if one, you know, scratches the surface, one will see very quickly. So, yeah, that's good advice. And if anyone like yourself or me or anyone else can afford it money and time-wise and put up with those characters that rule the place and they, how shall I say, different laws that they're enacting that are not necessarily in line with the tenets of Islam, then forget that. Put that aside and just, you know, take it as path for the course because you know what you are going there for and go and attain your objective. And, of course, you know, the cleansing of the soul and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So, yeah, that's the way I see it. And even if I had to go again in the near future, I think I will understand, you know, having been there so many times that some things in life will change, some won't. And, you know, there being no difference in Islam between the Arab and the non-Arab, if you can understand that, then let them do as they please. You just go there and fulfill your obligations and your duties and reap the benefits whilst one can.
Yeah, Ibrahim, but then, you know, you talk about yesterday and perhaps the price structure. I don't know what's it like now. I mean, are you in the game? You should know about that. But, you know, before people all, yeah, they could take a few extra members. How's it working now? You know, can you take like your father, mother, and maybe two kids or four kids? Will the package, is there a drastic change for Umrah packages, Ibrahim?
Yeah, well, look, the thing is, post-COVID, the thing is, there weren't many airlines offering services until recently where they all start coming back online. And, of course, they are trying to recoup whatever losses they had incurred as soon as they possibly can. And where you'd have been paying maybe 9-10 grand for a ticket, you're looking at 15 upwards. And it's not a proposition financially to be taking mom and dad and, of course, four kids and things like that with your spouse. It's not on unless you have got deep pockets. It's going to get testy. And even when you get on the other side, it's a question of what kind of accommodation are you going to have. And, of course, you've got to be circumspect with regard to the ages of the people that you are traveling with, their fitness and their ability to walk long distances in that kind of climate, depending on when you're going in the year, and where you're going to end up staying. Because what used to be, you know, going towards Mina, if one walked and took the way out from behind the palace, Ajyad way, going all the way through to the back there and before you hit Mina, that all used to be known as Azizia. It's quite a distance away. And the thing is, the prices are outrageously high. Don't talk about the frontline hotels in Mecca proper, where the Hilton complex used to be Darul Tawheed and all front line just off the marble area outside the Haram, that literally, and of course Jabla Umar, which was a street behind, you can't even talk about those hotels. They are so, you know, terribly and exorbitantly priced, so much so that some of our clients have said it looks like Hajj and Umrah is only for the rich now. And there is truth in that fact, because if you don't have the means, it's not going to be easy on you, unfortunately. But the reality is what I'm saying it is.
Yeah, sad indeed. Eh? So, but Allah, you know, Wallahu khayru raziqeen. We are aware of that ayat of the noble Quran. And I am the best of providers. And yeah, pray, people, if you are, if you know, Allah wants you there.
You'll be there for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Why we don't use those cliches? We say Allah will make sure you'll be there. Alhamdulillah, and you'll go there. Yes, Ibrahim. Then you look at. I mean, Turkey has been recently. Everyone you spoke to, hey, I went to Turkey. I'm going to Turkey. The bomb blast. How would it affect tourism there now, Ibrahim? I mean, just 2 days ago.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but these are the filthy games that the NATO, Western powers, America, Britain, Germany, France, and all those that are in cahoots over there. This is nothing different. The thing is, if you look at it, Turkey was becoming a very, very influential party to everything there, right from the reopening that grain corridor from Sevastopol, and the fact that it is known very clearly that that was orchestrated by the Brits as well and their special forces. And the thing is, that is why Putin closed off that corridor, because they used that, you know, with maritime shipping to launch that attack. Anyway, coming back to the reality of it, it's like that Operation Gladio that NATO and all these other Western countries and the alphabet agencies are famous for. It's a hallmark of theirs, right? And they'll find any, you know, ready stooge available to strap some bombs on them. Or who says it was a, even a suicide bomber? They always use that term, but who knows, unless you're right next to them, and then you won't be around to live and tell the tale. But that and the fact that they are going to start their own gas exploration in the Black Sea, and the fact that they are being seen as a hub for the transit, as a transit point for Russian oil and gas, and you know, they stand in a very key position. As you know, Istanbul, you know, straddles Europe and Asia, and they've got the Bosphorus, and I think that come 2023, I'm not sure exactly which month, whether it's July or August or what, that 100-year moratorium that the so-called allies after World War II placed, that the ships can go through there free of charge. I'm just hoping and pray they don't cause a Third World War before that comes to pass. Then everyone will have to pay through their noses to go through that Bosphorus. I mean, just to give you an indication, if you needed to go, and I'm talking about this must have been 10, 11 years ago, if you had to go one way through the Suez Canal, it cost more than $100,000 one way, right? So you can imagine what, for 100 years, how much of money these dogs have been, you know, stealing literally by making it free for everyone over there. But anyway, time's moving on and it's coming. So this is what it's all about. You know, the thing is, they tried destroying the economy of Turkey, and alhamdulillah, the lira is devalued considerably. Times are tough economically, but the thing is, they're still standing and they're still prospering, and they are getting more popular because of the affordability of going to visit the Turkey. And the thing is, even myself, even though I've been there many times, the thing is, if you tell me where I'd like to go, I'd say Turkey without hesitation. You know, after, of course, maybe the Haramain Sharifain. Because the value for money is there, and you'll never get tired of it, because it is so steeped in history and there's so much to be seen and so many attractions, so many things to be doing there. And you can not get tired of it. Not like if you went to Dubai once or twice, that's it, see, been there, done, that's all the T-shirt. No. And I think this is what is irking them. And the fact that they are standing between NATO giving membership to Finland and who's the other one over there, whether it's Norway, Sweden, I'm not sure exactly who, but they are standing in the way because they, as a member, have a veto, and they said, no, sorry, because they are supporting this terrorist group. I don't know whether it's PPK or who it is, but the ones that are giving Turkey a hard time. And that is one of the reasons why they're saying, no, we're not allowing it. So what else can the crooked West do but to do all these slimy things, you know, start killing people, innocent people, I might add, and just to sow terror and chaos into that peaceful, otherwise peaceful place. And I know exactly where that happened when I saw the video, because I've been down the street many times before. And it's one of the more popular areas, you know, in Taksim, Istiklal, that area, very, very popular with both locals and visitors alike. And it was very tragic to think that they will stoop so low as they are, you know, always want to do, because of the fact that they don't value life. They don't, not at all. And anything to maintain their hegemony, they will do, irrespective of cost of life or anything of the sort. So to hell with them. And I say this with the greatest of feeling, and may Allah give them every punishment they deserve for the things they are doing to innocent people and countries.
You know, Ibrahim Ba, I really treasure your knowledge, and you know, you read in between the lines. And as you said, you know, Putin himself told Erdogan this. You see all that gas that they're trying, and they hit the, those gas pipelines. So there's a line running through Turkey. So he says, let all the gas come via you, and you start and you start moving it out. In the meantime, what the Americans have done, you know, with the stooges that they have around, they actually Europe is America's poodle. So what they have done, they have opened up the Panama Canal to such an extent that all American ships are taking gas from, you know, their areas there and bringing it to Europe and charging them 10 times the price of what Putin, Putin was giving the gas for nothing. And what type of people are these that will allow themselves to freeze to death at the beck and call of a country that's put them into jeopardy? Talk to me, Brahma.
It's akin to committing suicide, Brother Shafat. There's no other way of looking at it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the thing is, then it begs the question, if you and I, as ordinary Johnnies that are sitting over here, can see the light and see the situation very clearly for what it is, how is it that these so-called leaders or misleaders, whatever they may be, cannot see what they are doing? They have no option. It, like you said, poodle. Basically, they are lapdogs for America. America says whatever they need to, and they do it. And even that one member of parliament, she had the gall and the nerve and the audacity to say that we will follow the dictates of the U.S. and she really doesn't care what the voters say. Now, how absurd is that, really, to come from a politician? Now, no less. But that's where the reality is, and the entire Europe. You know, they're going to be facing a dark winter, terribly cold, and a lot of them are going to die either of starvation or, how shall I say, the cold weather that's going to be below freezing in many instances, especially in Germany. And they don't have the gas which they use so much for heating, and they're just going to be dying out in the open over there or even in their homes. Because the energy prices have gone through the roof, and not by accident, but by design. And again, paying so much exorbitant costs for America, shipping it halfway around the world to them, it makes no sense whatsoever. So if that's what they have bought into, and unfortunately for their populations, they've been sold down the river. And they are the ones, unfortunately, that's going to be, you know, bearing the worst, the brunt of this thing. And I really feel for the people. But again, you know, it's a kind of thing that is said often enough, that what kind of people are they? And ever since the Second World War and whatever else, other connotations that have been attached to Germany, it seems that Germany lacks a spine to stand up and be counted and say, listen, enough of all this nonsense, get the hell out of here. And now to add things, to add matters to that, make it worse, it's this wonderful thing they're calling climate change and the new Green Deal and carbon credits and, you know, for a better one, I wish I could say it, but I won't. Other nonsense that they are pushing down the throats of everybody globally, it's basically going to destroy the economy and the manufacturing, the physical economy of Germany. Because if you don't have the gas, the oil, the power to turn the wheels of industry, you are not producing anything. And everybody knows that the products that the German make are real, top, world class. You can put it up against just any other country or any other manufacturer. And the thing is, fit for purpose, you will not find better stuff at a fair price than the Germans. But unfortunately, they are looking to bring Germany down to her knees. And this is how they're going to achieve it, because they've got stupid people in charge there who call themselves leaders, who call themselves politicians, but are nothing of the sort.
Absolutely, Brian Barr. You know, there's so many topics to discuss here this evening. But, you know, the one I want to discuss is, you know, when you're on your flight and, you know, someone's kicking at your at your seat. Behind you, and there's an irritating child there, he is crying all the time, and sometimes they pull a tug at your hair and so forth. And, you know, the reaction, you ignore it or you take the person on. You know, what do you do? I mean, we're looking at this article where it says, you know, there's a little girl, a woman endures a little girl kicking a seat and pulling her hair on a 15-hour flight. How she could have done that? She must have had lots and lots of patience. But what do you do in cases like that, Ibrahim? Huh?
Well, it depends on the individual. You can sit back and enjoy it and ignore it and make like it is not there. But if I get somebody kicking my seat from behind, oh boy, I just stand up, turn right around and tell that parent to behave and teach the child to behave, because it is only something the child does because the parents condone it, right? And the thing is, if you're going to take that nonsense, well, sit and enjoy it. And then they'll stand up and drop popcorn or nuts or whatever they got over there, they'll be throwing it over you. And don't even think of trying to recline your seat. Please forget that, or they'll be all over you like a rash. But I think this is the problem. The thing is, the parents are to blame. And unfortunately, in this day and age, they think that by sending them to the creche and sending them to the school, they are doing nothing more than making the lives of the teachers more miserable, because that is something, manners, they should be taught and taught to the children firmly in the home, by the mother, by the father, and not make their little monsters everybody else's problems. It is just purely indicative of parents that haven't the wherewithal of either disciplining their child or teaching their child how to behave in a public space. I'm sorry, I don't tolerate that kind of nonsense.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what type of individuals are these that will allow the children to behave in that manner? And then you find people, you know, talking boisterously on the plane, or someone that sits next to you and, you know, humming, or I don't know what hymn, or they're hitting the church hymns and all that. It makes your flight such a irritating one, Ibrahim.
It does, but the thing is, you know, that is why I'm not sure they still include after COVID. These little things that you put into your ear called earplugs. I mean, if I travel, I've got noise-canceling headsets. Just put it on. It cuts out all the engine noise. It cuts out all the other noise, and you can be at bliss, providing nobody's kicking your seat. Or if you're getting someone that's oversized that should have taken two seats but is taking one, and it's sort of overflowing all onto you. And if you're in the middle of three seats, well, you're going to have a party on your own there with them. I'm sorry. So always I look for the aisle seat so I can come and go as I please and not be in anyone's way. And no, it's not fun. Trust me, I've been in many flights over the years and encountered just about every kind of channel you could find. And, of course, some will really have a short fuse and temper and take it, tell them to shut up and do whatever. But others will just accept it and carry on and make it like it's not there. It's up to the individual. And what their makeup is, you know.
Yeah, and then on flight, you know, the best thing is your meditation. Mm. As you said, you've got a book.
Yeah.
And if it's a long flight, if it's an 8-hour flight, 12-hour flight, the sleep factor is an important factor, because that comes through. And you have to sleep, Ibrahim.
No, the thing is, it is important that you get sleep. You know, some people I know, they'll be watching movies and doing all sorts of things and yakking up away, drinking and calling for this, that, and the other, and calling the cabin attendant every 5 minutes. No, it's important that you get good sleep. And depending on how you time your flight, if you're taking a flight and then you're going to hit the deck on the other side, whether it's going to be morning or afternoon or evening at all, you must time yourself and get some decent sleep. So there's so much so that when you get off on the other side, you know, you are still relatively fresh and good to go. Otherwise, if you imagine going in and not getting enough sleep after a long flight like that one, 15 hours or 10 hours, 8 hours, whatever, is a long flight in any event, and going into an important or a serious business meeting, I mean, you're not going to be functioning at your optimum levels. And that's going to put you on the back foot and at a disadvantage straight away. So, yes, sleep is very important. And you don't necessarily have to eat everything that they offer or drink or keep asking for this, that, and the other every so often. The thing is, you know, you should pace yourself and what you are accustomed, you know, to taking whilst you are on the ground in your everyday life. Just keep that kind of balance, you know, and don't overconsume anything that will make you feel sick or miserable or just out of sorts.
Yeah, and you know, the beauty of being human beings, Allah's given us the choice, either even has given us the choice of whether we can entertain others or not. We can just, block the gate and throw the keys away.
Yep.
And you don't have to open the gate to everyone, Ibrahim.
No. You know, the thing is, you can be there physically present, but if your soul is in another dimension spiritually, you're not there for all intents and purposes, Brother Shafat. You know that. And this is what a lot of people don't seem to understand or realize or even appreciate, that you can be there, you know, in your physical form, but you can be somewhere totally elsewhere in your mind, in your soul. And what better way than, you know, to remember Allah and be, you know, in constant zikr and remembrance of Him. And that is where, of course, He says in the Quran that it is truly in the remembrance of Allah do the believers find peace and do hearts find contentment. So that's what it's all about, is to be able to shut out all that madness from around you and be in another realm altogether.
I tell you, we went to another realm this evening. Yeah, I'm telling you, Ibrahim Ba. We started off, we were in the holy lands, spoke holy tunes, and we look at the holy time. we spoke for 26 minutes, alhamdulillah. Brilliant indeed, Ibrahim Ba. Perhaps, your thoughts and your parting words this evening?
This is one for all our lovely listeners out there. It's said that every now and then, a person with no agenda, no ulterior motive, and no self-interest will take pleasure in helping you to succeed, to grow, and live your purpose. This person will operate in love, will seek no praise, and will want nothing in return from you. This person is indeed a gift.
I tell you, Ibrahim Ba, like you, you're a gift to me. And alhamdulillah, also a gift to the listeners. Allah bless you now and forever. And maybe I got a gut feeling, me, you, and few others will be taking a trip to a whole place.
Inshallah.
Very soon.
That it'll be, you know, they say if you got the right company insofar as traveling goes, if the company is right, then even if you're going to hell, it'll be a pleasant journey. But even if you're going to paradise and the company is not right, then it's a little taste of hell getting there. So very important as to who you travel with or choose to travel with, because they can either make it a very pleasant or a very nasty experience one way or the other.
Remember, people.
That is why we've been told, if you know, when someone was being buried, and I think Rasulullah, or was it Hazrat Umar, I'm not sure, asked, do you know this person? So-and-so, he says, yes. He says, have you traveled with him? He says, no. He says, have you done business with him? He says, no. He says, well, you really don't know him. And that is so true.
Yeah. Did you do business with him? Did you travel with him? Did you sleep with him? You know, in his company? Yeah, if you slept there. No. Then you don't know the individual.
You don't know him.
Yeah. Only, and you need to do all that. And I tell you, people, Ibrahim Ba is talking not about that Jannatul Firdaus, traveling to paradise, maybe like Mauritius or something like that. Mm. People call that paradise or some paradise.
They call it paradise, heaven on earth.
You believe it?
They have no clue. They are totally clueless as to what heaven will hold. Absolutely no idea whatsoever. So let them call it their heaven on earth for what it's worth.
They use a term very freely. Mm. And good luck to them. Ibrahim Ba, really enjoyed your company this evening. You have a beautiful evening ahead. And inshallah, we'll talk to you soon.
Inshallah. And let me wish you and all our listeners out there to Radio Markaz Sahaba, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, thank you very much, Alukolo, for brilliant engineering. Keep it locked on to Markaz Sahaba for beautiful programming. From the team and I, till we meet you again, we bid you, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.